to see all of you out. I hope you had a restful afternoon. And you're all invited to a fellowship after the service, kind of an impromptu thing. But instead of going out to McDonald's or wherever, you're all invited to come downstairs and all the food is provided. And I hope that's a blessing to you. So if you're available, just come on down. Don't feel like you had to bring something because, yeah, this is just impromptu, spontaneous. So keep that in mind. Otherwise, August 29th, we'll be having lunch barbecue at the Nordville Park, and then we'll be having an afternoon service, and then we won't be having an evening service on that Sunday. So that's the fifth Sunday of August, August 29th. Keep that in mind. Otherwise, don't think there's any other announcements, and so let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here this evening, and even do thank you for the rest that we had this afternoon. And even if we didn't get some rest, I thank you that you are here with us, and that you enabled us to get the things done that we did. And most of all, we thank you for Jesus Christ. Help us to never take for granted what he has done for us and the salvation that we have in his name. And so we are truly grateful for this time to be together. Even as we lift our voices together to praise you, I pray that you'd receive great glory. And even when we leave this place, I pray that we'd constantly be thinking about what you've done for us, looking for the opportunities to share the goodness of Jesus Christ with others. And so I do pray that you'd be glorified this evening, and even as we'll be looking forward to hearing from Andy, how you've been using him and many others in Boston, I pray that that would be an encouragement to our hearts, and I do pray that we'd be praying for one another, praying that your word would do great things in this world. So we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening. We'll begin on the singing portion of our worship service tonight with hymn number 506, I Will Sing of My Redeemer. We'll stand together as we sing hymn number 506, I Will Sing of My Redeemer. To hymn number 270, Wonderful Words of Life. Now we'll turn over to hymn number 372, Living for Jesus. Amen. Now we'll turn over to hymn number 529. And to kind of give you a little bit of a breather here, I don't know if you recall, but I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the first time that James played a special music here at Norville Baptist Church, I believe this was what he played, and he's played it a few times for us. Now, I'm not going to make him come up here and play because he's not ready to do that, but it was actually one of the very first songs that we have that he and I had worked together on, and we learned how to lead singing and play congregational music together on this song. And it's an interesting song to think about. It's actually a complicated song to direct, but it's such an easy song to sing. And it has got such a simple truth in it. If you look at the refrain, it's so very simple. You love Jesus. And that's it. And why do you do that? Simply because He first loved me. It wasn't because I was so good, because I'm not. That's personal testimony. And I'm sure the rest of you could give the same. Verva, would you testify to that truth?
Yeah.
It's not because I'm so good, because I'm not. It's because He's so loving. He loved me even when I am unlovely. Isn't that a wonderful truth? No matter how ugly you are, I see Brother Lester laughing. No matter how ugly you are, Brother Lester, God loves you. And Jesus died for you. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Now that you had a chance to catch your breath, let's sing 529. Oh, how I love Jesus. Just love singing simple songs like that. It's such a beautiful truth. Let's turn over to 496. 496, He hideth my soul.
Thank you.
Now, you may recall, or if you notice here at the top of this page, 496, it says, "He shall hide me, he shall set me upon a rock," Psalm 27:5. But what is this really talking about, this song here? What instance, what little Sunday school story do we know? We read about it this morning, if you were paying attention. Was anybody paying attention? What little story, Sunday school story, is this actually talking about? Come on. Okay. Moses goes up on Mount Sinai. The fire of God, the all-consuming holiness of God, descends upon the mount. And Moses says to God, "Well, I want to see you face to face." And they go, "Well, of course. Wouldn't you like to meet God face to face? You got all these things going on around you, the fire, the lightning, the mountain is shaking. What a perfect question to ask, isn't it?" And God says, "Well, you can't see that part of me, but I'll stick you in this little cleft in the rock and put my hand over it, and when I pass by, I'll take my hand off and you can see my hinder parts." So you can't quite see the perfect holiness of God, because if you did, boy, as a fallen human being, what would it do to us? But we get to see a glimpse of God here on this earth. And we see it not like Moses in the fire and the consuming holiness of God, but we see it in His Word. And you think about the fact that in His Word are little clefts of rock that He hides our souls in. It's a wonderful little opportunity for us to understand that we're not talking about a hole in a rock, but rather His Word and the importance that that should have in our lives. Let's turn over now to hymn number 526. It'll be our final hymn this evening. 526, we'll stand together as we sing. 526, "All that thrills my soul is Jesus." Thank you. You may be seated.
Well, it's good to have Andy Scott back with us. He enjoyed a week of modules last week, and he's ready for another week of modules this week. And so we have him for this Sunday, and he's been in Boston this past summer, or this summer if you want to call it, and then he's planning on going back to Boston and settling down there. And he's going to share with us this evening how God has been working in his life, how God has been working in Boston. And Andy, come and share with us.
Yeah. Good evening. It's good to get to see some familiar faces out there. A couple new ones, I suppose, but it's good to meet you guys, too. I guess before I start just jabbering on about myself and what I've been up to, if you'd turn with me to the book of 1 Peter, I'd really like to just take a quick look at that. That just as I was reading through that, it really reminds me of what I love doing the best out in Boston, which is just sharing the Word of God with people who formerly were not, knew nothing about God, but have been totally changed by Him. So if you'd look in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll take a look starting in verse 9 once you get there. Alright, 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 9, Peter says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." So first he tells us about, Peter is talking about the unique Christian people. They're different from the Jews. They're different from the Gentiles on the outside. These people are a totally unique people. They're a chosen generation. God has specifically chosen each one of us if we have become Christians and if we have trusted in Christ. We are chosen, handpicked by God. He says that we're a royal priesthood, and we have direct access as the children of the royal king to our God and Father, that nothing can keep us away from Him. We're able to come to Him with everything. We're a royal nation, a peculiar people. When it says peculiar, I don't think it just means weird. Maybe for a couple of us, I don't know. But we are unique, unlike any other people anywhere else in the world. And the reason that God has chosen us, that He has saved us from our sins, the purpose is found in the following words, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So that's the reason that God saved us, so that we could praise Him for what He has done for us. We who formerly were in darkness, we were in sin, we were blind spiritually, we knew nothing about God, we didn't want anything to do with God, but He saved us from that. He saved us from that sin, and He, taking us from that, He has placed us into His marvelous light with perfect fellowship with God. And we have that awesome opportunity, not because of who we are, because He says in verse 10, which in time past were not a people. We really didn't have anything special about us. We weren't of the chosen nation of Israel. I don't think we have any people of Jewish descent here tonight. Maybe so, but God had made special promises to the people of Israel, but we weren't of that. We didn't. We were outside. We had nothing to do with God. And frankly, I can remember being unsaved and not really caring anything about God. But He took us, who were just ordinary people who you couldn't really say perhaps anything particular about. We had no fellowship with God. We didn't have a unique relationship with God, which in time past we were not a people, but now we are the people of God. So we aren't put into the nation of the Jews. But we're not just regular old Gentiles anymore. We're in a new body, in the body of Christ. And that is the people of God, unique among everybody else. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter where you've come from, who you are. If you have trusted in Christ, you are in the unique people of God, because, as he says, which had not obtained mercy in time past, we had nothing of the grace of God. Jesus died for our sins before we became Christians, but we didn't care about that. I didn't care about that as an unsaved teenager. I just lived my life the way that I felt like it. So we did not have anything of the mercy, the grace of God, but now something's changed. But now we have obtained mercy, and it is through that gospel of Jesus Christ that Jesus died for our sins, and he rose from the dead, so that we, who were formerly not a people, just the everyday people who just don't have anything special just because of who they are, Jesus died for them. Jesus died for me. He died for you, so that we could obtain mercy and be the people of God. And that just reminds me of so much of what goes on in Boston, because I've run into people from all over the world, and it doesn't matter what nation they're from, it doesn't matter who they are, what they're doing in life. What matters is the gospel, and that even though they're all types of Gentiles, there's even all sorts of Jews in the city of Boston, but they're alienated from God. They have no relationship with Him. They do not have they're just ordinary, regular people who they need the gospel. And it doesn't matter who they are, but if they trust in that, they're taken from being in the sphere of darkness, and they're taken to be in fellowship with God into a unique people. It doesn't matter if they're Chinese or if they're American or fill in the blank. They have a stronger identity in Christ than any blood ties could ever give them. And it's just awesome to be able to think about that whenever you get to meet people from all over the world in a city like Boston, and to be able to share the gospel with these people, and to be able to show them that no matter who they are, no matter what's gone on in their life, no matter what sins they have committed, they can have forgiveness of their sins, and they can have a relationship, a real relationship with God. So just thinking through that is just a wonderful reminder of why I love being out in Boston. I basically moved out there June 1st was, this was the second time I've been out there, as many of you know, just working with Bill and Deb Edmondson. And what they're doing right now is they're working on a church plant reaching internationals, just anybody, whoever, but the city of Boston. The reason why they're there is because of there's just literally the whole world is in this one little dot called the city of Boston. A major attraction of that is the colleges, the universities there. You have Harvard, you have MIT, you have fill in the blank about 58 more times or so, and you'll have all these different colleges and universities that they attract people from all over the states and from all over the world, and they come to this one little spot, and they're learning. They're not in their they're kind of already out of their sphere. They're wanting to know more. And many of them are thinking of very deep questions, not only of what am I going to do with my life, but why does my life even matter? What's going to count for my life? And we just get to drop by and say hi, and just to befriend them and to show them what the gospel really is and how it can actually change lives. So basically, what do I do out in Boston? The main thing I do is just I just live out my Christian life in the city. It's actually if you I don't know what you think of the city, but oftentimes it's most people view the city not in a very positive light, and for a very accurate reason, because there's terrible things that go on in the city. and just think, why should you go to the city with all the crime in the inner city, and with there's just so many people jam-packed, and most of them don't even care about each other. So why even mess with it? It's just, once I start thinking about that, it's very true, and I can see that in the city, but that just reminds me that the gospel needs to be in this place. It's a place where people are hurting. Why wouldn't I want to bring the gospel to people like that? Just thinking about growing up in rural Illinois, I never had a very positive view of Chicago, because basically what the politics of Chicago said is what we got stuck with. So it's the cities are very influential as well, and if we can get, no matter how large or how small, of a gospel influence into places like that, it'd be awesome to see that kind of influence spread out other places as well, because a lot of what we do is ministry not only to college students, but also to the international students at those colleges, and the large immigrant community out there as well. And they, some of them are here to stay permanently, but not all of them. There's actually quite a few of our members who are, Bill likes to call it the International Baptist Fellowship in Diaspora is what he likes to call it. We have several people who we've been able to meet with and who have become Christians. Let's just try to think of a couple. One is James, a Chinese student that I've never met, actually. He's, if I'm correct, he's doing an internship in Connecticut. He'll be coming back shortly, but I try to think of Wayne is another guy who I met last summer. He's doing an internship somewhere out east as well. And then Bolin, another Chinese student, she's actually been in China all summer. And it's just really neat to even be able to see how we've been able to share the gospel with Bolin. And she's come to believe in Christ, has been baptized, and has been growing. And as she's been at home, she's been with her family talking to them. And I think it was about a month after I'd been there that Bolin wrote back to us and said, my mom is trusted in Christ now. And she's like, whoa, this is pretty awesome. Awesome stuff. Like, I really couldn't share the gospel with her because she only speaks Mandarin on the other side of the world. But it's just I kind of like seeing that. Just that just the type of ministry that you have in one little dot, that it can shoot off to all over the world, the places where I can only be at one spot at once. So it's just kind of neat to see that. Hopefully, if I can invest myself in this one little spot, just all the people from all the different other little dots all over the world can, if they ever wind up going back there, just to get to share the gospel with all those other people as well. It was really exciting to hear that. And I guess I could tell you a little bit of my living situation right now. I'm living in an apartment with 4 roommates. They're all Chinese students. I'm actually the least educated person in my apartment. I have my master's degree, but it just shows me that these people know a little bit more than I do. So so it's we have a great time, though. I live with Jianwei and Chufua, are actually 2 members of our fellowship, of our church plant. They've been Christians for about 2 years or so. I don't remember exactly how long. About 2 years is right, though. And it's just a wonderful chance just to actually live with them. And just as I live my Christian life and as they live their Christian life, just for the opportunities of discipleship, just in the everyday stuff. And that's been wonderful. My other 2 roommates, one by the name of Hao Peng, he's going to be finishing his PhD, something in medicine, biological medicine. Yeah, a lot of times my roommates will explain what's going on to me, and I can regurgitate just the smallest amount of information. But he's a smart cookie. He doesn't know. We've been able to talk about the gospel a little bit, but it's. I'd appreciate prayer for him because he's going to be heading out in September, so the amount of influence I have on his life is limited, just that we'd be able to just be able to share with him. He wrote on his Facebook the other day, I'm almost done with my life in Boston, but now what? So that made me think, the future is important, isn't it? So, I'd really appreciate prayer for him. My other roommate is already a doctor. His name's Gweeson. His family actually came to visit him because they are living in China right now as he's studying postdoctoral work at one of the hospitals there in Boston, and I think he's going to be here for about 18 months. So his wife and his 2-year-old little boy came to visit. His wife knew a little bit more English, and I know Mandarin, so the majority of our conversations were either through Gweeson or through one of my other roommates. And then his little boy, they called him Feifei. I don't think that is actually, I think that is just a nickname. He would just sit there, and he really liked me for some reason, and I didn't know why. And then his mom told me it's because of my hair color. It's brown. He's used to being around people with black hair, that he just thought that's so cool. But he'd just sit there and jabber to me in Chinese, or sometimes it wasn't Chinese. Sometimes it's just his parents are like, I don't know what he's saying. So just to get to just to live with them, and they'll be gone by the time I'm back, so I said bye to them. But just hopefully, I was just thinking that the only real chance that I have of sharing the gospel with that little guy, Feifei, is just through his dad. So I'd appreciate prayer for him as well, just as we get to every once in a while talk about stuff. So I have a great time in my apartment, so it's definitely different from what I'm used to. Eat a lot more Chinese food and stuff than I did back at home, but it's pretty good stuff. It's homemade, so it's better than the stuff in the restaurant, so I like that too, but it's a difference between the restaurant stuff and like your mom's home cooking. So it's good stuff. One of the main things I do is, like I said, live out my Christian life, and a lot of that's just living in my apartment with all my Chinese friends. And the primary ministry that I do is just small group Bible studies. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Bible studies a week that I meet with individuals or with a group of people. As of now, on Tuesdays, I'm working with a guy by the name of Alex. He's from Connecticut, and he actually was introduced to Christianity by James, who I mentioned earlier, who's out in, I think he's in, if I remember right, he's in Connecticut doing his internship there. But I haven't met James yet, but Alex, basically the reason why he's here is because of his friend James, so I'd be eager to get to meet with him. But we're doing lessons on baptism. Alex, actually, his dad is a practicing Jew, so he really didn't know much about Christianity, basically, until he showed up in Boston and his friend James was telling him about it. So right now we're working on baptism lessons, and hopefully Alex would be baptized soon. That'd be really exciting to get to see that. Also on Tuesday, I meet with a girl from China. Her name is Nan, and I actually met her, of all places, on Craigslist. She was looking for someone to help her out. She's both interested in her improving her English, and she wants to learn about the Bible. So I'm just like, hey, that's a cool Bible study. Just pick up our English Bible and just work our way through it. We're working through the book of John. just talking about who Jesus is, and that's a lot of fun. Just we start with the vocabulary, and then how the grammar fits together, and then we go to the paragraph, what all the ideas, how those fit together, and then just, what's this really mean? It says that Jesus is the Lamb of God. What do you think that means? Just things like that, and just thinking, why did someone think to put this story in the Bible? Why is this really important? And we just get to talk through things like that, and that's been a blast too. Let's see, then on Thursdays, I work with a Chinese student by the name of Jay. Right now we're just also basically doing we're doing discipleship studies. We're going to be, once I get back, we'll be starting the book of 1 John, just working our way through that, and hey, you can't be going through the Bible, I guess. So that's what I guess my idea was. I love that book, so I'm sure that could be a help to Jay's Christian walk as well. Then Fridays, the first Bible study in the afternoon is with another Chinese student by the name of Ivan. He's been a believer for a couple months. Bill led him to Christ on his college campus of Northeastern University. So we're actually going through baptism lessons too. So it'd be great to see him get baptized as well sometime soon. Then on Friday nights, Janway, my roommate, actually set up a Bible study on his college campus, Northeastern University, and he's just we meet every Friday night at 6 p.m. and we'll go to the library or to the student center. He wanted to go through the book of Matthew because he said every time I try to start reading the book, the New Testament, I open up to Matthew and I get stuck and then I give up. So it's like, I really want to work through this because it's a... So he organized it, and he's basically in charge of it. So people like me might, I'll go there. Pastor Bill pretty much is always at that one too, and we'll just, it's kind of similar to the one on Tuesdays that I go with Nan, because pretty much everybody's has English as their second language, so it's almost half English lesson, half Bible study again. We just work through the vocabulary and the grammar and da 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 da, and just work out to the context. And what's a friend of mine, Jason, he's always says, I know what it means, but what does it mean? And what he was talking about is, I can understand all the words and how they fit together in English, but what's the significance of this passage, and why is it in the Bible, and why should I read it, and what's so important about it? So it's really neat. That's a... I guess the attendance from that fluctuates from about 3 to 9. It kind of depends a lot on the student schedules, but it's really neat. About half of the attendees know Christ and are growing as they learn from the book of Matthew, and about the other half are just curious about Christianity. So it's I guess it's a discipleship / evangelistic Bible study, all uniquely wrapped into a English Bible study lesson. So it's pretty that I love going to those on Friday nights. It's really neat. Let's see. What was really exciting was a couple weeks ago, we had a baptismal service with two Chinese students. One, Jay, I mentioned earlier, he got baptized that Sunday, and also a Chinese student by the name of Tina. Whenever I first met Tina, she wasn't a Christian, and it was about 2 weeks, 1 or 2 weeks, when I was there in Boston. I ran into her and a couple of her friends at the Northeastern University. I keep mentioning that one, I guess, because that's where several of our friends that we've made contacts with go to that school. I ran into her and her friends in the student center, and they were eating lunch. So they're like, "Hey, do you want to come to lunch?" So I figured, hey, they probably have some good food, so I won't complain. I won't say no to that. So I sit down, ate some noodles, something. It was good. I don't know. they were asking me what I was doing. I said, I'm studying for this test that I got. And Tina said, well, I'll be praying for you. And then one of her friends is like, are you a Christian, Tina? And she thought about it, and she said, well, I might be on my way. So she knew what the gospel was, and she was just mulling it over in her mind. And she actually goes to the Friday night Bible studies. And while we were actually going through the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24 and 25, talking about the end of the world, all things, and she was thinking about what's going to happen and all the terrible tribulation about before Christ comes back to start his millennial kingdom, and she is warning people to watch and be ready for this time. And I think God used that in her life. She said, I don't want to have to go through that. I want to be ready for that. So it's kind of, it's really neat to see, even though it's this really complicated Bible passage, just to see how the truth of the gospel is able to come through that, that she's thinking, I need to be ready for this stuff. I need to not dilly-dally about who Christ is, and I need to trust him. So that was really neat to see her and Jay both get baptized. That really shows, hey, what we're doing is, I guess it's working. So seeing people come to Christ who just might have an inkling of who he is besides a swear word in movies, sad to say, but it's just... That's what I really love to see, because at the baptismal service we drove to a church about 20-30 minutes away from where we meet, and they have a baptismal there, and we all gathered around. There's maybe 30 people sitting there, and let's see, I guess how it worked is they were Bill was telling everybody about what baptism means, and that was a really neat situation, because I had the chance to, before Bill got there, they got sidetracked and traffic can be crazy, so they didn't make it as early as they were hoping, so pretty much everybody beat them, and I was sitting, I was surrounded by several, a couple new people who had showed up for the baptism, and a couple other of my unsaved Chinese friends. So I asked them, do you guys know what this baptism's all about? And Jay's girlfriend, who right now doesn't know Christ, she's like, yeah, I know what it means. And I asked her what, and she said resurrection. Going down into the water represents Christ's death, and coming back into it represents our new life in Christ. So it's just like, yeah, it's right on the dot there. So trust in that, please. So getting to talk to them about that, and it's just really awesome to be able to see that the so many of these people, just they're from all over different places in Beijing, and try to fill in the other names, just all over China, primarily right now. That's probably about a third to half of our church is from China. The other half is local Bostonians or a couple people like me from the Midwest. So it's really neat getting to relate to them, and be awesome to be able to start reaching out to other people as well from who knows where. We've had the chance to do that before, and it's really a blessing just to meet with people with who their culture is different, their tastes and food is different, and just fill in the blank. There's so many different things about these people, but we do have things in common, and it's really neat to get to see that. We all love family. We love to laugh. There are things in common, just as being created in the image of God, that we can relate to these people with. God made them. They're valuable, so I should spend some time with them. Christ died for this person. They're of infinite value. Why should I not care about this person? And it's valuable whether or not they even do come to Christ, not to just look at them as, I got to convert you, but and if you don't convert, I won't be your friend anymore. But just to show them that God loved them. God loved us before we loved him, as we sing. earlier that we love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. We weren't necessarily lovable, but God loved us anyway. And we can share the love of Christ to these people who might have an interest or might not have an interest in who Christ is, but just showing them that we really care about them, just to have the chance to show the love of Christ through us, to show that this, what we're talking about, it's real, and it's changed my life, and it can change their life as well. So the last question might be, well, what am I going to be doing in the future? As Pastor Phil said, I'm here for a couple weeks of working on some schooling, but I'll be here till Friday, then I'll go home for the weekend to say hi to family and then fly back out. And once I get back out there, I'll actually be starting a job. I'll be making pizzas, but I'm just like, hey, if that pays the bills, I've never been so happy to make pizza in my life. So I have a place to live and I have something to pay the bills with. And if that lets me be able to continue with Bible studies and sharing the Word of God with people, I'm pumped for that. So I'll be bouncing back here every so often for a class here and there up at Faith. I'll have a module every so often, so I'll probably show up on a Wednesday, every once in a while on a Wednesday night. So I won't be a total stranger, I guess. So I'll basically be I'll be working and doing Bible studies and keeping on living my Christian life, hopefully growing, and so that not only that I can grow, so that I can help other people to grow in their Christian life as well. So we might have a minute or two for questions. Would that work? Or if you're anything I didn't mention that you're itching to ask me? Yeah.
What about that young lady you brought here?
Oh, yeah, Kimberly. She's in Canada right now, so I don't get to see her face to face as often as I'd like. But she's going to be working on her nursing degree. But we talk through letters and over the internet and phone calls as much as you can. So
I thought maybe she's going to be out there working, whatever you're doing.
Eventually that'd be awesome, so so yeah. Alright, so if you have any other questions, I'll be downstairs eating with you guys, so feel free to ask me then. So thanks for letting me share what God's been doing in my life. So Pastor, I'll hand it back over to you.
Thank you, Andy. What a blessing it is to hear, first of all, from God's Word, what an encouragement that was, and then how God is using you in Boston. And that is so very true. You know, even though we may have a different skin color or have a different accent or a different language altogether, the Lord still loves us, and Jesus Christ died for all mankind. And we need to share with them the love of Jesus Christ. And it's neat to see how Andy's doing that in Boston. We can do that right here in Des Moines. And use every opportunity the Lord gives us. Dan, why don't you come and lead us in our closing hymn, Near My God to Thee, number 393. Go ahead and stand with us. 393.
Thank you.
Father, we do thank you for the day that you have given to us. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather and to fellowship with one another. And also, Lord, to hear from your word, to learn from it, to sing praises to you, and to worship you as a God who is a God of truth, and to worship you both in spirit and truth. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given to us today. Father, we also do thank you for the great report that we have been able to hear this evening. Thank you for our dear brother Andy. Thank you for his willingness to labor for you, even though the pathway can be difficult and certainly sometimes dark. Lord, we pray that you will continue to bless him for his labors. We ask that you will give him much fruit, not just fruit that would come from his direct contact, but Lord, fruit that will come from the contacts that he makes as they will go around the world. And Father, as we think of that simple truth, we ask that you would help each of us to realize that wherever we are, wherever that little dot may be, that we have the opportunity to influence people around the world. And that we have the opportunity, at the very minimum, and not just the opportunity, but the responsibility to share the simple gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, and what that means for each person who is living today. Father, we ask that you will give us boldness, that you will give us the courage that we have seen exhibited in the life of our brother Andy here, that we would all choose to just live our life for your honor and your glory. It's in your son's name we do pray. Amen. Thank you.